Colette Gator, thanks for joining us. The title of your exhibition is Alternatively True Facts, you know, a nod to something President Trump counselor Kellyanne Conway said, defending false statements about the president's Inauguration Day audience. My question is, why use this as the title of your show at the Mezzanine Gallery?
Well, I believe that what Kellyanne Conway said is that the administration uses alternative facts. There are alternative facts. To be fair, I think what she meant was that there are many ways to look at the same thing and that, you know, people have a different perception of events, et cetera. So I twisted it to alternatively true facts. And it's basically the idea was to make you think about how the idea of what is true and what is not true is being challenged daily in the national news, and especially in the political news, and especially from this administration. I mean, people's heads are just spinning. You know, I just thought it was the perfect title for what's going on in the world right now.
And in your exhibit, you take traditionally reliable sources in print media, like books and headlines and things, and then you work that into your artwork. What will people see when they walk into the Mezzanine Gallery for this show?
Well, the latest piece that I've made is a series of images that include haiku poems that are made from Trump tweets. And these are printed on pages of a book of birds that I bought when I was in Cuba. And each page has a bird on it. And it also has a Trump haiku from one of his tweets.
So a little tweet there.
Yes, exactly. And the title of that piece is A Little Bird Told Me.
So is most of the work in this exhibit politically motivated, politically influenced? How does it run along that theme?
Well, I started my career as a graphic designer, but I've always been interested in current events. I always believe that truth is stranger than fiction. You can't make anything up that is more absurd, ridiculous, shocking than something that happens in real life. So that's when I started using texts. So I used texts right out of the newspaper. And I just thought, as an artist, it allows me to show things in a way that people might not see them otherwise. You can get on the radio, you can get on TV and say, well, you know, Donald Trump lied about this. But if you show the actual text with another text and with a compelling image that illuminates all of it, then you might be able to get through to some people who didn't see it otherwise.
And what other kinds of compelling images will we see in this show? Are they all works on paper?
Yes. There is a book that I made back in October, before the election even. It takes text from the How and Why Book of Electricity for Children from 1969, and it's all about how to be careful with electricity. And I took selected texts from that book and juxtaposed them with quotes from Donald Trump's speech at the Republican National Convention. So these texts are juxtaposed on top of collages in the background. So one of the things that is involved in this piece is I traveled to Cuba quite a bit. And one of the things I've noticed being in Cuba, and this is what gave me the idea for the whole piece, is out on the street, there are all these electrical boxes that are not covered. And often these wires are sticking out of the box and they're taped. They're duct taped or sometimes with many colors of tape. And they're almost like little artworks. I just found them to be really fascinating. this phrase came in my mind, clear and present danger. Like there's these electrical wires just sticking out. So the images tie together the idea that there's something right in front of us, and we pass by it every day, that is extremely dangerous if under certain conditions. You know, all you need is for these things to happen and you have a disaster.
The Trump administration has proposed some pretty massive cuts to government arts funding. Does that have any play in your show or your work as an artist?
Not specifically. I mean, that's part of the... I mean, to be honest, every single Republican, they've been after the NEA since the 90s, you know, maybe even before that. Maybe they always thought it was a bad idea, the arts and the humanities. You know, one of the things that is so troubling about that is, again, twisting of reality. The fact that people are interested in the arts and humanities and books and literature and higher education and ideas has been turned into elitism that's used against the masses of people. It's been presented as something that is harmful rather than enriches people's lives. And it also diminishes the fact that everybody participates in the arts and humanities in a number of different ways. More people go to museums every year than go to sporting events. You know, I mean, museums, art museums, history museums, all kinds of museums are one of our more egalitarian institutions in that most of them try to have at least some free access and free programming. There are lots of art museums that are completely free all the time. And, you know, once again, I just think it's diabolical because denying people access to the arts and humanities and stopping the incubation and dissemination of ideas is what keeps people uninformed. And if you have to base your politics and your political success on people being uninformed, that is not a good thing.
So it's obvious the current political climate has informed your work, but are there other pieces in this show that have to do with other things outside of politics?
Yes. I made a deck of cards for an organization I developed with a colleague. Our project is the Beauty Shop Project Delaware, and it's about building women's self-esteem and helping women to take better care of themselves. The cards have quotes on them, like there's one from Hillary Clinton that says, "If I want to knock a story off the front page, I just change my hair." And there's one from Aretha Franklin that says, "I'm a big woman, I need big hair." So between the sort of humorous or inspirational quotes, there's real information about how women can change their lives.
And that's part of your show in the Mezzanine Gallery. People can see all these cards.
Yes, the deck of cards will be on display, probably in a case. I try to always put the messages that I want to get out into the world, I always put them in a context that is aesthetically appropriate and also interesting to people, which makes them want to look at it.
What could be more tangible than a deck of cards?
Right, exactly.
And I have to ask, after doing a little research, I came across a piece of yours called Monkey Girl Weds Alligator Boy.
Yes.
What's this about?
Well, let me see if I can make this story short. I did some research into genetic mutations. I had heard about this woman from Mexico who had a disease called trichosis, I think is the name of it, where you grow excessive facial hair. And back in the day, there used to be people called bearded ladies at shows and fairs, freak shows, I used to call them. I found this real story of this woman they called Monkey Girl, who was on the circuit in circuses, and she found this man who was called Alligator Boy because he had this condition that made his skin scaly, and they were married. They were married for a long time, happily married, and I found the story about it, which became the title and the cover image of the book. The book itself is a found wedding album that I found. I think it's a book of proofs from a wedding photographer for a wedding. I think it's from the 40s, maybe, or early 1950s. It's a white couple. They seem relatively affluent. And the photographs show their extended families, all the traditional photographs of them cutting the cake, you know, posing with relatives, the bride and groom together, et cetera, et cetera. Kind of the fairy tale wedding story. So I took this story told through this wedding album and changed it to include people with various genetic abnormalities. And what I want people to think about is how all of our mating, you know, finding a mate, getting married, et cetera, is thinking about a genetic future. And on the back of the book is an ad, a real ad against miscegenation. And it goes, you know, interracial marriage and interracial childbearing. And it goes on to talk about how wrong this is and how, you know, that people shouldn't do it. I just think that this is one of these, again, one of these things that's out there in plain sight. You know, people, when they look for a mate, they look for someone who has similar background, usually same race, usually same nationality. It's that, you know, all these different attributes that they think will produce a good genetic line. So, you know, I kind of rolled all those things into one.
Is it meant to be humorous at first, but then people delve into it and see that it's got very serious undertones?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so, yeah.
Colette Gator, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for talking to me. I appreciate it.